WYXR 91.7 FM. It's Friday. We're hanging. We're having a good time. You know why. It is not any longer Memphofest Eve. It is no longer the countdown to Memphofest. It is Mempho Friggin' Fest. And, you know, in true Mempho Fest fashion, we're doing what we always say we do when Mempho comes around. We're mixing it up. And so, you know, giving you a little bit of a special program midday. If you're headed to lunch, getting you some grub, then make sure that you don't get too deep in those mashed potatoes, those black eyed peas, whatever it is that's on your plate. Get next to your radio. Get cozy. You're going to hear some fantastic music, some fantastic stories. I'm here with a couple of special guests. I'll let some of the home cooking come on out. We're gonna throw it to a good friend from up the street, Mr. Jeff Colath is here in the studio. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks, JB. It's good to be back here in the studio, and I'm honored that y'all asked that I get to speak to Mr. Dave Schools from Widespread Panic, bass player, somebody who I've followed around the country over the last 25 years and who I can trace the tinnitus in my ears to you. October 6th, 1998, Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin.
I believe you, and I apologize in advance for the horrible ringing in your ears as you get older and older.
But no, obviously Panic is in town again to play Mempho two nights, Saturday and Sunday. An awesome lineup, and we're so glad that you're here, and y'all have a long history in Memphis. By my count, according to our mutual friend Ted Rockwell in the Everyday Companion, this is going to be your 50th show in Memphis this weekend.
That seems low to me, but I'll buy it from Ted. He knows everything.
So the first time you guys came here was, do you remember the first time you came here?
I was thinking about that, and I don't remember exactly the first time.
So 420, 1989, Whew. You played at a club called Lou's Other Place.
Okay.
Robbie's shaking his head. Do you remember Lou's?
I remember. I think it was a loose end. I mean, I think it became a loose end.
It's on Front Street, right?
It was on Front Street.
Yep.
I'm not sure that was the first one. Okay. I think that there may be an undocumented.
Undocumented one before that? Okay.
But I do remember that one because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I drank some bad pineapple juice after the show, and the next gig was in Suwanee, Tennessee, I believe.
That's the one, because the 421 is Suwanee.
And man, that pineapple juice did not treat me right. I've never seen guys get out of the front seats of a van faster on the side of the road than that night. But, you know, Memphis, it's always been a magical place for us. Mm-hmm. And I use the word magic very sparingly. But literally every time we came to this town, something special happened. And I love it. I mean, I have great friends here. One of my favorite bands in the world is from here. Big Ass Truck played the first party I threw at the first house I ever bought.
Oh, really?
In Athens.
So, okay.
I love it. And obviously, you know, the Stax Museum, when it opened, I went and I was blown away. The
nice.
Outreach programs especially.
Thank you.
And the history, and it's just, it's great.
So you guys have played, so 50 times, at least, we'll say at least 50 that you played here in Memphis. And, you know, you played a bunch of different venues. You played small clubs. You played the Antenna Club when the Antenna was still open.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have played Mud Island a bunch of times, and probably one of your better, you've had a lot of great runs here, but one of your better runs was probably that July 97 run, which still gets talked about amongst fans these days.
Yeah, that was really special, and I know I promised another little story, so I'll make this short.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about all the hilarious food-oriented stories, but my girlfriend was here. She's from California. She doesn't know anything about barbecue. So, of course, we go to Rendezvous, and we get ribs, and we're eating, getting sloppy, and, you know, of course, they bring you like a half a loaf of sliced white bread on a plate, and she's like, What's this bread for? You can't really make a sandwich out of ribs, you know? And I said, oh, well, honey, you know, when you get all the sauce and the gunk from the ribs all over your face, you take a slice of white bread and you gently dab it off, and then you can enjoy the white bread. And she started doing it. I kid you not. And I couldn't hold it together. I cracked up, and she was an Italian lady. The anger came flowing. But it was one of my favorite moments, just to see her actually go for it. And that's that story. And that wasn't the year we played with the Dirty Dozen, was it?
That was no, that was 99 was Dirty Dozen. Okay. 97 was Mule open for you guys. That was that tour.
Oh, the Mule and Bare Naked Ladies? Was that the one?
I don't remember if Bare Naked Ladies were there, but the Mule was there.
I just remember one time, well, let's just not get into that. Great times have been had at Mud Island.
Did we play one of those?
99, you guys did.
99.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of going for it, speaking of great times, and speaking of Memphis and the spirit and the things that that we truly believe in, you asked us, Dave, to between Jeff and myself, to kind of throw some Memphis-related, Memphis-connected, Stax-connected, Stax-related curveballs at you, some things that people don't hear every day. We've got a lot of events coming up between WYXR and the Stax Museum of American Soul Music, and just other projects going on. And so we think we delivered between the two of us. And this is a record that Jeff and I, we're going deep on it. We're trying our best to go deep on it. This is the Gospel Artistics on the Gospel Truth subsidiary of Stax. And we're going to have some beautiful souls and some uplifting music throughout the week at Memphis Fest. Pastorship, we just kicked him out of the studio for the record, but he is our resident gospel minister and producer and host and our spiritual leader of WYXR. So this is a little bit of a tribute and a shout out to him. Let's rock it out.
WYXR, Memphis.
WYXR 91.7 FM, having some fun in the studio on Mempho Friday. That's what I'm calling it. That's what we're feeling it. We got Colin in the studio hanging, the Goblin Shark. Got Jeff, Stax Music Academy. Excuse me, Jesus, goodness gracious almighty. Stax Museum of American Soul Music. When you say Stax and then music and Stax in the museum, you know, the brain.
Happy to be associated with both and all parts of the Soulsville Foundation.
Well, I opened last night for the Stax Music Academy, so it's still fresh on the brain. Myself and Hope Claiborne.
Ah, okay.
At the Bridges Center, which is
nice.
the institution where I learned how to DJ, DJing for young people in the Memphis community. And so I decided to pay it forward, give it back last night, went back home and DJed for the young people and their families.
I think it was Satellite Band last night, so it was the middle schoolers that played with
you,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
And we got Dave Schools of Widespread Panic hanging. We're talking some Memphis memories. We're talking about making new Memphis memories. We'll be hanging out this weekend at Mempho Fest. And we're hanging out now on air playing some pretty, let's go with the word obscure, corners of Memphis music history, of Stax music history. Mr. Schools, how do you feel about what you've heard?
I think it's fantastic. This Blue Aquarius, is that what it is?
What we just heard, yes, was Blue Aquarius. Jeff, would you enlighten the people at home about this gatefold record that is so mythical and mysterious to many who may ever look at it and see that it has the word gospel on it, but it is religious in some ways and spiritual in a lot of others, but not exactly gospel.
No, it. So as with many things that happened in... let's just say post Wattstax, there was an opportunity for the company to sell some records, and Mr. Al Bell was never one to pass up an opportunity to break into new markets and sell records. So there was the Guru Maharaj Ji, who was a 14-year-old guru, and his family, and then his followers, and they were going to have their big reunion meeting, whatever you want to call it, at the Houston Astrodome. And which could hold, 75,000 people or whatever. And basically it was a call to all of his followers throughout the world to come to this big event. And one of the people that helped organize it was actually Rennie Davis from the Chicago 7 of the anti-war protest era, And so so they put all this together, and then there was going to be music and there was going to be comments by the guru, and the guru's brother was the band leader. And so Stax got involved because they agreed to record the concert and then put it out as an album. And then also they talked their way into bringing Eric Mercury with them, who was one of their artists on the Enterprise label. So Eric Mercury was going to play. So in the documentary, which is, I think it's still on Amazon Prime, on the big digital scoreboard, it said Stax Records will soon release Blue Aquarius on LP and 8-track or whatever like that. It's this crazy moment. And then they only had about 25,000 people showed up to the event, didn't really do that well, but the record is this again. It's an awesome record. You guys are calling it soundtrack music almost. It's one of those records that you see in the bin of Stax stuff, and you're like, I don't think this is worth it, but it is. It's awesome.
I'm going to be hunting it out. I mean, we literally, Colin and I on the ride over started talking about library music,
yeah,
and its form and its function, and how many people love it now, not just DJs and samplers, but there are composers working that stuff, and this Blue Aquarius was great. It's like chase scene music. I'm late to the big event at the Astrodome, so I better run.
We're still listening to it. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it's some psych guitar. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a big giant band, almost like Polyphonic Spree size. 20 plus members and just a big choir and everything.
Did they film it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can see the Houston event. You can see the build up to it, and most of the Houston event in the documentary.
Oh, fantastic!
And the stage set is just—it's crazy because, of course, it's a 14-year-old guru, so he's sitting in the middle of the stage in this giant football stadium, and he's this small person.
It was the decade for gurus, wasn't it?
Yeah, really.
Let's bring that back around. Prior to that, we heard a selection from a label mate of Blue Aquarius on the Gospel Truth subsidiary. That is the Gospel Artistics. They're from Spring Hill, Maryland. And funky. The song's called No, Not One. A little gospel. And then before that, The Whip. We heard The Whip.
We heard The Whip.
By Alfred Brown, Mr. A. The Sounds of Alfred is his group he has. And Mr. Alfred Brown, he's still hanging around Memphis. I've seen him a few times. Saw him, I think, most recently at the James Alexander Street Dedication doing his thing. And he gladly let me know he's working on new music. And I would venture to imagine that he's still pretty funky. I think so.
I don't think you lose it.
No.
I don't think you lose it. And I want to shout out to you, JB, for handing me this new old stock amazing 45 of The Whip, because I don't have it, never heard it, so being educated, both you guys, it means a lot to me. But I just want to bring up that The Whip is a dance, as you informed me.
Yes.
Because this is, I believe, the only record I own where on the label is an actual credit for choreography as performed by The Exotics. If there's any Exotics left out there, I'd like to know who you are.
We've got a lot of room in this lobby. All you Exotics can come hang out and bounce around and show us The Whip. Sounds of Alfred, I'll say one record of Mr. Brown's that I'm looking for. I can't find a little funky bedroom banger called Love Pillow.
Oh.
So if you got a copy of Love Pillow out there, come tape it to the front of the station window. I'll be very, very happy. Up next, we got coming up a little Big Star by request of Mrs. Schools. And, you know, we have Big Star playing, well, Jody of Big Star and a ensemble of other famous musicians playing the Big Star number one record 50th right here in the Crosstown Theater on December 3rd. That'll be an evening event. But earlier, what's up?
No, I just have questions.
Oh, for sure. Well, earlier in the day, we'll have some other free music going on as well. And so, yeah, Jeff, you got a question?
So one of the musicians that's playing with Jody is Mike Mills from R.E.M. So
Another Athenian.
And Mike is somebody that's played with you guys a handful of times now in the last few years.
Mike's been he's a great friend. Athens is a small town, and you just run into people all the time. And you know, those guys helped us out a lot, gave us a lot of great advice, mainly keep your appointments, which I took to understand is, if you got a gig at a bowling alley, show up and play the gig.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would if you got a gig at the FedEx Arena, show up and play the gig. Best advice I've ever been given, courtesy of R.E.M., Mike Mills. But I love Big Star. Always have, and I've been fortunate enough to work with Terry Manning on 4 records down at Compass Point. And when he pulls out the 2-inch, the reels, the master reels of these Big Star records, it's, well, it smells like Memphis, first of all. But enough talk. Shall we just spin this, You Get What You Deserve?
You get what you deserve, and you get what you ask for as well, here at WYXL 91.7 FM, the station with the city soul, wherever you are.
Thank you. took us to a gathering place where people met to pray. I was very young, too young to understand.
WYXR 91.7 FM. You know who's excited for Mempho Fest. You can probably hear him in the background. Pastor Ship.
Yes.
Hanging out. And
you're in the gospel stage.
Yes.
The gospel
side
stage.
Yeah. What did we? I don't have this record, Jeff, that we just heard. I've seen it walking through the halls of the Stax Museum, but I do not own.
So that is the record. The artist is Ben Atkins, who was a Alabama guy, a blue-eyed soul guy, recorded in North Alabama with, you know, contemporaries with all the other great musicians that came out of there, and did some early R&B, you know, rock and roll stuff. And then Stax, or again on the Enterprise label, the best subsidiary of the in the Stax universe. The A side is him with Muscle Shoals Sound, and the B side is with the Stax guys mostly. And the album's called Patchouli. It's the only record that I know of that actually features Came Smelling Like Patchouli.
Mm-hmm.
We have the documents in the files that talk about the cost of spraying all of the records in patchouli. and the complaints at the record label because it was going to cost that much.
Copies, I thought you were going to say complaints because the it smelled.
So that one smells a little bit like it. My personal copy smells really like it.
Wow.
And it's because it's still got a little shrink on it. And it's also the only record I know of that features the artist sitting in an outhouse. But that is a song called Long Way to Go, written by the incredible Miss Betty Crutcher and our forever friend, Mr. Bobby Manuel, and featuring Bobby and Duck and Al on the rhythm section there.
And before that, of course, we mentioned we had Big Star playing a little bit, and December 3rd, we'll be doing Raised by Sound Fest here at Crosstown Concourse, presented by Minfo and hosted by us. We planned by WYXR, the staff here. We all pitched in and thought of some people that we would love to showcase that are in and around Memphis music. So if you want to know some information about that, WYXR.org is the place where you can just go to www.raisedbysoundfest.com. Mr. Dave Schools, how you feeling? How you hanging?
I'm having a great time. This is always what I wanted to do. Like stumbling into bass playing for a rock and roll band and producing records was a happy accident.
Right.
But this, you know, I was thinking when we were talking about the patchouli scented album cover, you brought up the patchouli candle that another DJ burns or either just opens up while he's got his show. And I asked you, does he do the like Sunday night before sign off mellow jazz show? Because in Richmond, the station I listened to that was mostly rock and roll all week from 8 until midnight on Sunday, a guy named Ty hosted a show called Mellow Madness, which is where I first heard people like Yusuf Lateef and all kinds of great sort of low-key jazz. And it was just like the Venus Flytrap thing on WKRP. He had his wind chimes, and I just like to imagine. But I just want to say how important, you know, independent radio can be to young minds.
Yeah,
it's a big deal that people are exposed to you know, not necessarily straight up commercial music.
Right.
DJs get to pick what they want to play and sort of seed their taste and educate people about music. And that's why I want to thank Jeff for coming in here. I asked him to bring some oddballs. You've brought in some oddballs. We're talking about Memphis music. We're talking about Stax. But really, you know, it's about a vibe
for
that
sure.
We're farming that gets people interested in culture and also their local culture. So to have Big Star coming up on December 3rd, this is all, it's all tied in. And it's such a great thing. I'm pleased as punch to be invited to be here.
Well, we're so extremely excited to have you here. You got two shows at Minfo coming up this weekend. How do you get prepared mentally, physically, just to get up on stage and rock out with your fans? I mean, you just had a couple come through the studio, lucky enough to have met Pastor Ship outside, who got them their backstage pass into the studio, much to my chagrin. However, it happened. It happened, and we're going to move forward. I mean, you've got, you know, Widespread Panic fans are a lot for me to deal with, and I'm just here in the concourse each day. So I mean, what's it like for you to get your mind set and ready to entertain these folks who love and adore this group so much?
Well, I can answer that question really quickly. They make it easy.
Great.
Because they're probably one of the most forgiving fan bases in music. They know that we're going to get up there and some things we're going to knock out of the park. Other things we might be learning. We might be rehearsing. We're not scared to play a song we don't know yet.
Great.
In front of people. And what I consider to be one of the most horrifyingly bad moments on stage, you know, the fan that started the spread net back in like 1992, the first internet bulletin board about the band, that's his favorite show. And I ask him why. It was nothing but clams. And he's like, because the humanity was on display. So, you know, to prepare, it's just really more like a little personal prayer of, you know, let me be open, let me listen, and let me pay attention to what's happening on stage, and hopefully our fans enjoy it. And that's kind of a catbird seat. It's a great position to sit in. So for as far as Memfo, you know, festivals are always like, oh, geez, you know, we gotta follow Wilco. Are you kidding me? You know, it's like, I've had to follow Robert Plant, and I don't ever want to do that again. You know, it's like, can I just clean up the stage after this guy? Because that's what we're doing. But yeah. Festivals are great. It's a chance to get some cross-pollination going. You never know who's going to show up. Last year at Mympho, Billy Strings sat in with us, and we had a great time. And like I said, we love Memphis. We love Memphis music. And a lot of our crew, our stage manager, comes from Memphis. We've got a lot of friends. And it's like home. So if you get nervous before Sunday dinner at Grandma's, that's on you, but that's what it feels like.
That's awesome. Well, we're glad to have you, a friend of the station. Speaking of a band that, you know, maybe hadn't played some of these songs in quite a while, we have 24 Karat Black will be performing together for the first time in a long time.
Talking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought there would be a little bit of a...
No. Just okay. Going to talk.
Did I misread that?
No. It's wishful thinking. I'm going to chalk it up to wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. All right. For a band that hopefully we'll be able to get together and tell some fantastic stories. One of my personal favorites, an ensemble of very, at the time, very young people sort of getting together, figuring it out under the direction of some really amazing music minds. And unfortunately, maybe the world wasn't quite ready for what they were picking up. I mean, Jeff, what's your take on 24 Karat Black?
I think that's a fair assessment. You know, the record is... It's unlike anything else in the Stax universe. I think one of the reasons why, at least here in Memphis, you know, I was surprised. I didn't learn about the record until I started working here.
Oh, really?
And like literally the first week I was here, one of the kids that worked in the store took me over to the bin, flipped through and said, "Do you have this?" And I said, "I don't know what it is. Just buy it." So, and I've been lucky enough to do the same thing for a lot of people, standing in the gift shop and selling copies of 24 Karat Black reissues to unsuspecting tourists.
Yeah.
It's sort of comes out of left field, but I think one of the reasons why it maybe doesn't resonate as strongly here in Memphis is it really has no Memphis connection whatsoever, other than the fact that Ronnie Gordon did the artwork and Frederick Thoma took the photo for the cover. But it was a Dale Warren beginning to end production. It was done up in Michigan, and the band's from Cincinnati. So it's a dark record, but it is reality of America and Black America in 1973, and it really lays those things out. And it's elements of it are so brilliant, which is what hip hop producers and artists have been able to pull out. But when you put all those pieces together, it's just majestic in terms of the sonic nature of the record.
One of the most sampled records in hip hop, one of the most sought out records by DJs and hip hop fans and hip hop producers and just people who appreciate that lineage. I mean, Kendrick Lamar on his Pulitzer winning record, Damn. The final moments of the record, of that record, pull and borrow from this record. So it's an iconic one. I mean, Eric B. and Rakim, Nas,
Diggable Planets.
That's something I was listening to the other day, and I was like, it's so omnipresent in hip hop that sometimes I forget to even remind myself that that is what I'm listening to, because it's like, oh yeah, that's Rock Marciano's new single with The Alchemist, it samples this beautiful record. So, Dave, have you ever heard of it?
I have it. Yes,
have it?
I was
you
one of the first crate digger things I discovered. I had a lot of downtime in a studio situation one time, and it was before they killed all those download sites.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had hours and hours to download a bunch of rare reggae and just, we're talking Ghetto's Misfortune.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Downloaded it, and you're right, it's dark and it's very familiar if you're a fan of hip hop. I mean, it's and it's different. It has a different luster to it. I don't know if you can use the word luster with something that's dark, but man, it's I love this record.
Well, I think luster is appropriate, being that it is the 24 Karat Black and the imagery of the cover of it. I mean, it has a luster as much as it is dark, that actual image. So shouts to Ron Gordon and
Frederick Thoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the fact that we're able to bring lead vocalist Princess Hearn, Niambi Steele, who was sort of caught on that tour out of, you know, jumped on the bus in Indianapolis, left her family at home and got on. And then Jerome Derrickson, who was one of the horn players, it's the first time that they've been together in, wow, in since they were on the road in the 1970s. And they're over the moon excited to come to Memphis and to meet you and talk to you and meet everybody at the museum. And it's going to be something, because they never received the adulation from the record company. So now it's up to us to provide that for them.
Well, they'll be at the Sax Museum of American Soul Music on October 6th. And then on October 7th, we'll be viewing Watt Stax at the Orange Mound Tower. And so a lot of WYXR and Stax Museum synergy coming up, and some other projects and some things we've been tinkering with too. So keep your eyes on that. Of course, I mentioned Big Star. I feel like we're running out of time, so I feel like we'll play this record, and then we'll come back and we'll sign off. Is that cool with you, Dave?
Sounds great.
Well, we were talking a bit about radio singles and making some edits. I made an edit of this song last week, so just right on time that we can take a 9-minute song and make it appropriate for this occasion. So let's listen.
Stand.
a chill out vibe at the end.
Yes, sir. All right, we're talking info. We're about to get on out of here and make way for Ron Buck. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the great music and the education. It's great to meet you guys. I met JB on Zoom last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I randomly messaged you on Instagram.
That's right, and you turned me on to some great unknown stacks and enterprise music. So I'm all about the education, and I love it. I'll never stop loving music. This is great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. We're always happy to have you in the studio, and maybe we can get around Memphis and, you know, dab some barbecue off our faces with some white bread or something. Like
please,
that.
Let's do. Yeah.
Any last parting words for people who might see you at Mempho this weekend?
Well, come on out and expect the unexpected. Widespread Panic's got two nights to do what we do best, and we love Memphis, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks for hanging. All right, Ron, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.